words. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Francis was born in 1182 in Assisi, Italy, the son of a prosperous merchant. Conditions in Italy were not dissimilar to conditions of our own day. The powerless commoners no longer tolerated the domination of the elite. Prolonged drought caused widespread famine and barbaric public torture was but a different form of the violence and terrorism that we see today. Francis was not born a saint. The son of a wealthy merchant, he had time and money to host lavish banquets for young nobles who proclaimed him king of feasts. Parties and selling cloth left Francis little time for God. A handsome, charming, and educated young man, he spent his early life leading young nobles in parties. He dreamed of knighthood and longed for the adventurous life of chivalry. In pursuit of that dream, he joined the war between Assisi and Perugia at the age of 20. In that war, Francis fought with youthful enthusiasm. He was then wounded and taken prisoner. Spending nearly a year in a dungeon, he contracted malaria. He was then ransomed by his father, and a more reflective Francis returned to Assisi. Sickness overtook him, and in that languishing experience, he heard the first stirrings of a vocation to peace and justice. But the military victories of Count Walter of Brienne revived Francis's desire for knighthood. Under Brienne's command, Francis had hoped that he might win favor and become that knight that he had long dreamed of. And on his way to join Brienne, Francis stopped in Spoleto and heard shocking news of the Count's death. Overcome by depression, his malaria strengthened. One night, while sick, it's reported that a mysterious voice came to Francis. "Who do you think can best reward you, the master or the servant?" Francis answered, "The master." And the voice continued, "Why do you leave the master for the servant?" Francis realized that the servant was Count Walter. He left Spoleto convinced that God had spoken to him. During the next 2 years, Francis sensed an inner force that was preparing him for another change. The sight of lepers had always caused revulsion in this young, sensitive Francis. But one day while he was riding his horse, he came upon a leper and something clicked inside of him. While his first impulse was to just throw a coin and spur his horse onward, instead Francis dismounted and walked up to the leper and embraced him. And on his deathbed, Francis recalled that encounter as the crowning moment of his conversion. In Francis's own words, "What seemed bitter to me was changed into sweetness of soul and body," end quote. Later, in a dramatic moment of prayer in the abandoned church of San Damiano, he heard a voice coming from a crucifix that challenged him to rebuild the church. At first thought, he thought it meant that he should rebuild that church in San Damiano. It was kind of falling down. But gradually, he realized that God meant that he should rebuild the wider church at large. And from that moment of clarity on, he learned that living a truly Christian life would place him in opposition to the values of his society and set him apart from his family, his friends, and many his own age. He became what has been called by many a charismatic penitent. And the brothers and sisters of penance, which is the third order of Franciscans still alive today, see the pattern of gradual conversion that marked Francis's spiritual journey as the defining charism of that order. The third order being an order of lay persons, even married people, committed to following Francis's example. At first, actually, Francis didn't want any of these orders to form. He wanted to live a life of solitude and prayer. Within a few years, though, of his call becoming clear, God, Francis realized, was calling him to give momentum to a movement already present in the Christian faith, a life of conversion. The challenge to live the Gospels in his daily life fully, unequivocally. Francis found that there were other young men of Assisi who were attracted to this same wholehearted, full devotion to living the gospel without reserve, to follow that path that Christ and his apostles modeled. And soon there grew this small commune of brothers around Francis who settled on the outskirts of a town nearby, the abandoned church of Our Lady of the Angels. And it was there that the First Order of Brothers formed around Francis, despite his never really desiring that. Before he died in 1226 at the age of 44, quite young, he founded three orders: the Franciscan monks, that first order, the Poor Clares for women who sought to follow the Franciscan way, and the Order of Brothers and Sisters of Penance. Now, I could have shared so far an equally long reflection on his love of animals, his sermons to the birds that were actually written down by his brothers, and his Canticle of Creation, which still exists to this day. The readings focused on animals today might have led you to think that's where the sermon would go. But we see from his life that Francis is about so much more than animals. It is a life committed to peace, one of justice, one of simplicity, and a deeply authentic commitment to living out the ideals of the gospel and the fullness of Jesus' teaching. Today at coffee hour, we will show a screening on a documentary on gun violence, and we scheduled this today intentionally on the feast of St. Francis because of his commitment to peace. Fact: how many of you knew, by show of hands, that Francis tried single-handedly to stop the Crusades? It's true. I see a couple hands in the back. We got a laugh in the front and some hands in the back. One commentary gives us this story. It was 1219. Accompanied by another friar and hoping to convert the Sultan of Egypt or win martyrdom in the attempt, Francis went to Egypt, where a crusader army had been encamped for over a year, besieging the walled city of Damietta. The attempted rapprochement with the Muslim world had far-reaching consequences, long past Francis' own death, since after the fall of the Crusader kingdom, it would be Franciscans, of all Catholics, who would be allowed to stay on the Holy Land and be regarded as the custodians of the Holy Land. There is another story of Francis making peace that I want to close with, and it's about animals, which links Francis's passionate work for peace with his special connection with animals. And many of you might know this. This is the wolf of Gubbio. When Francis lived in Gubbio for a time in Italy, there was a wolf who Francis described as terrifying and ferocious, who devoured men as well as animals. His writings exist. Peacemaker and lover of animals that Francis was, he decided he would see if there's anything he could do to help this situation. So he ventured into the hills with his brothers to find that wolf. After venturing long enough that fear had caused most of his companions to flee, Francis found that wolf, deep in the woods. Francis made the sign of the cross over the wolf and commanded it to come to him. And his brothers report that the wolf closed its jaws and came and sat at his feet. And he is recorded by one of those brothers as saying, "Brother Wolf, you do much harm in these parts, and you have done great evil. All these people accuse you and curse you, but Brother Wolf, I would like to make peace between you and the people." Francis led the wolf into the town, where he met the startled citizens, and he made a pact between them and the wolf. According to Francis, the wolf had done evil out of hunger. So he said that the townspersons were to feed the wolf regularly, and in return, the wolf would no longer prey upon them or their flocks. And in that manner, Gubbio found peace. In the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I invite you to reflect, given the state of the world, constant violence, turmoil in our own communities, how are we called to be peacemakers in our own day? Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. When we are confronted with the wolves of our own day, do we run? Do we lash out? Or do we seek another way? Christian theologian Walter Wink taught that beyond the instincts of fight and flight, there is always a creative third way for dealing with conflict, for dealing with the wolves that we face. It's not always easy, but it's worth the struggle. Are we willing to struggle with Francis to follow that way of peace, that way of life?